Did anybody in the White House know that you were asking? The
gentleman's time has expired.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask unanimous consent to introduce into the record the documents? I think
could,
the gentleman
could you let me just,
to.
Let us finish this first, and I'll recognize you for introduction. Could I suggest to the gentleman from Georgia that he submit any continued line of questioning for the record, and we may go into a second round or work out some sort of circumstance that you may continue on.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Florida, Mr. Wait a minute. You have a unanimous consent request.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like a unanimous consent to introduce into the record the document that the gentleman of Georgia was referring to, which, by the way, is very careful and narrow in its delegation.
Please just introduce the document, please.
I ask unanimous consent.
Without objection.
James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there, and welcome to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. We hope you'll be with us for the entire 2 hours. I know a lot of folks are listening to the C-SPAN coverage of the Judiciary Hearing Committee. Can't talk today. John Conyers doing the hearing, which for my money hasn't really amounted to much yet. I've had it on just about all day, sitting here at the computer doing other work, and can't see that it's worth a hell of a lot, really, for much. Don't know that we've learned a whole lot, except the Department of Justice, a bigger bunch of bastards than we originally thought they were, the Bush appointees. And the Republicans on the committee are a bigger bunch of bastards than originally thought they were, coming up and bloviating about how Harvard and Yale were started as Yale, you know, religious school, to trying to defend Regent University, which, as I understand it, is a in the fourth tier, ranked in the fourth tier of... Why do they do this? Why do they feel obliged to stand there and defend the girl's university, everything she does, sit and talk about other things that have nothing to do with this, talking about Congressman Jefferson? God dang it, Democrats, throw Jefferson out and shut them up. Jefferson is a common thief. Get rid of him and don't give them an excuse to keep on wailing about Congressman Jefferson. Get him out. He's a thief. He's a crook. Get him out. We all know that. No, he hasn't been convicted in a court of law. Tell me how you get caught with $90,000 in cash in marked bills in your refrigerator and you're not guilty. Tell me that, and then I'll say, well, I'm sorry. But I'm not. As you can probably tell, I'm not in the best of mood today. I'll get to that in a minute. During the first hour, we're going to talk about... I don't know if they deserve to be called Democrats anymore. But we're going to talk about Democrats in the first hour. And when we get finished with that subject, and I hope to go over it somewhat comprehensively, then we'll talk about this Monica Goodling thing. I'm not terribly impressed with her. She's kind of a twit. We shall see if she really has anything important to say. I hope you'll join us on the program today, 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I realize we probably have many of our regular listeners. And what happened yesterday? Had a huge audience yesterday. Not very many phone calls. Don't know why the sudden spike yesterday. Can't figure it out. Don't know why. Don't know. But we'll probably have a lot of people maybe listening to both today, to me and to Monica Goodling. I want you to know right now that pertaining to today, that I'm going to ask you ahead of time to forgive me if I sound bitter and utterly disillusioned today. I am in a hell of a bad mood today. I don't know what's going to get me out of it. The fact is, I am very bitter and disillusioned with the Democratic Party that I've been a member of my entire political life. Never have cast a vote for a Republican, except once, like I explained many years ago. I had a friend that was a Republican who ran in a local election for county engineer, and I voted. He had a primary for him, and I voted for him in a primary, but I voted against him in the general election. So, my general election voting record is intact. I have been nothing if not devout and loyal to the Democratic Party and what it stands for. But never, never have I been so ashamed, so, I can't even think of the words, I'm so pissed today, so mortified, so hot under the collar at the actions of the leadership of the Democratic Party. And I'm always completely honest with you, and to be honest today, I took my voter registration card out of my billfold this morning, and I looked at it for a while, trying to decide whether or not to tear it up and throw it in the trash. I did that. I am distraught. This is a case of absolute betrayal by the Democratic leaders. I don't know what else to call it but cowardice of the highest order. Call it what you want to, a cave, a collapse. Call it what you will. But ultimately, it is the worst kind of betrayal of those of us who work so hard to get a Democratic Congress, so that they would follow the wishes of the people and end this debacle that is the Bush-Iraq War. We were led down the garden path by these people, and I cannot, I will not forgive them, nor will I ever trust the present leadership again. Despite what Harry the ultimate coward Reed says, This was not any kind of victory for Democrats who want this war ended. And this has got nothing to do with politics that I'm talking about, a victory for the Democrats or a defeat for the Democrats. It's got nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with what's right and what's wrong for the American people and our military personnel. I don't give a damn what Harry Reid says. This was not any kind of victory for Democrats who wanted this war ended. I heard Harry Reid say, yes, oh, look how far we've come. I got news for you, Harry. We've not gained an inch, and you know it. There is no timeline for the end of the Bush-Iraq war. There are no meaningful benchmarks to be met. There are no American military today with any knowledge of when they might be able to come home. There is no end in sight to the carnage that's taken place in Iraq. There is nothing in this bill that stops Bush's war policy. Talk about the Warner language, whatever you want to, is horseshit. You blinked, Harry. You blinked and you lost to a man who has no integrity, no credibility, and no honor. And by doing so, Mr. Reid, you have assumed the same values that Junior Bush possesses. You said this can't be called a defeat. What should it be called, Mr. Reid? What should it be called? He stuffed it in your faces. Let's just call it what it really is. It's an utter and complete capitulation to a man completely devoid of reason and compassion. You've surrendered to a man who only has the support of 28% of the population of this country. What an embarrassment you are, and a disappointment to the Democratic Party, Mr. Reid. You and the others who joined you in this ill-begotten charade of claiming victory when there is nothing but utter defeat. Rahm Emanuel. Rahm Emanuel says it's the beginning of the end of the war. Emanuel is a shameless political whore who's privately admitted that this is a defeat. The integrity of the leadership of the party is absolutely destroyed. We can never trust another word coming out of the mouth of Harry Reid. All of the posturing and the bloviating over the past few months about how you weren't going to back down. All the statements you made about how you're going to make the president back down. All those statements now seem absolutely preposterous and expose you for what you are. A gutless political coward who has no business being the majority leader of the United States Senate. And it's beyond me how a single member of the Senate or House who backs this surrender can ever go back home and face their constituency again. I can't believe that they ever could. How could you look somebody in the eye and not feel the shame that you should feel if you got any sense of decency over this bill at all? When I talk about being bitter, that doesn't even come close to describing my feelings over this today. I'm beyond bitter. I'm more angry than I've been in years. I'm so frustrated over it, I don't know what to do. I've spent the whole morning calling and writing to everyone I can think of in the House and the Senate who might listen to reason. I've corresponded with others who feel the same way as I do about this matter. And I hope I have a change of heart. But at this moment, because of this decision of the Democrats to back down from Bush on this appropriations bill, I just hate politics. I hate the fact that this has happened. I absolutely hate the fact that we're being governed by people without a conscience, without integrity, and without courage. I heard some Democrats brag now and say, well, now that this has happened, the war belongs to the Republicans. I disagree. I think by capitulating to the Republicans on this appropriations bill, the Democratic Party has bought a large portion of the responsibility for the Bush-Iraq war through this action. And you can bet your bottom dollar the Republicans will now use this as a political tool to convince people that there is support for their war. Well, the Democrats went along. Oh, yes, they did. They voted for the appropriations. They're for the war. Didn't have the guts to withhold funding. I know many of you feel the same way. And frankly, I'm just devastated over this. I actually had believed that the Democrats would act with honor on this matter. And they have not. And I sincerely hope that those responsible for this debacle suffer the wrath of the Democratic voters in the next election. And I pledge to you this, that I will do everything that I can to see that they suffer political consequences for it. Because nobody who went along with this debacle deserves to be a representative of Democratic voters who wanted this war ended. There are no excuses, there are no justifications, there are no rationalizations, there's nothing that any of these people can say. Oh, well, we had to do it by Memorial Day weekend because the troops would have suffered. Are you telling me George W. Bush and the Republicans would have folded? That they wouldn't have, rather? Are you telling me that the President of the United States and the real people who run the Congress, the Republicans, the ones that have backbone for the wrong cause, but they have backbone, I'll give them that. They have political courage, I'll give them that. Do you think that they would have let the soldiers and Marines and everybody over there go without ammunition, go without food, go without clothing, go with all the things that they need to prosecute a war? Do you really think that would have happened? If you do, you're dumber than a hoe handle. Which brings me to the real reasoning for this whole thing. You could not be that stupid and be in the Congress of the United States. I don't believe you could get there if you were that stupid. Which brings me to the real crux of the matter. It's all about politics. That's all it's about. That's all this capitulation to Bush is about. They're playing a poker game in hopes of taking a bigger advantage in the Congress the next time around and winning the White House. They're betting, the Democrats are, that they can shift the entire blame, and they wouldn't have to do any shifting for my money. But they're saying that they can put the entire blame for the whole war and keep it there on the Republicans and George W. Bush, and therefore gain a tremendous political advantage. Meanwhile, how many more of our soldiers, how many of our Marines, how many of our people will die in Iraq while these people are playing politics with this? Wouldn't the right thing to do be to just do the right thing? To forget Republican and Democrat and just forget it for a while and go into the halls of Congress and do the right thing with no political considerations? Oh, I know that's impossible for most of them. I am so ashamed and angry today as an American for my country, for our military personnel and their families. And I know many of our military personnel and families and their families have been convinced by the Republicans and the right-wing media machine that it was those nasty Democrats that might have withheld the money from them to feed them and clothe them and arm them and protect them in Iraq. I know many of them are convinced of that. But it's a damn lie. And all the Democrats would have had to have done is to continue to resist this president. And what did they do? They sold out. They copped out. They gave up. They surrendered. 866-546-5254. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
This is the Head On Radio Network. The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join me every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Boxed Up with John Fox. Each week, I'll feature an artist and a song with a little commentary. We'll examine why music plays such an important role in our social and political climate. We'll try and make it fun, informative, and entertaining. Join us every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, with John Fox on Boxed Up. And for music with political commentary by great liberal minds, check out my website at unreportednews.net. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Our day will come, and we'll have everything. We'll share the joy, falling in love can bring. No one can tell me that I'm too young to know. I love you so, and you love me. Our day will come. If we just wait a while, no tears for us. Think love and wear a smile. Our dreams have magic because we'll always stay in love this way. Our day.
Back with you here on the Guy James Show. One very sad, one very angry, one very bitter Democrat today. Yes, I'm still a Democrat. I didn't tear up my registration card, but it sure felt like it this morning. It's one of those old things. I didn't leave the party, but the party left me. And I don't know when it's going to come back. I had high hopes that the party would come back, and I know you might get tired of me talking about it, but I had hopes. And you well know I did. Last year during the November election and the time leading up to it was a very positive time for most of us here on this program, those that listen and myself, looking forward to a Democratic majority in the Congress, looking forward to actually getting something done to end this war. And what have we accomplished so far? Nothing. Nothing. Let me say that again. Nothing. I heard Junior Bush talking to the Coast Guard Academy today. I don't know whether it was live or if I was watching a video on C-SPAN. I never did see for sure. I think it was live. He was talking about the great successes we've had capturing some of Al-Qaeda's top guys. Bragging about it. Sure has helped, hasn't it? Along with that very dangerous group, the Miami 7, and the absolutely frightening Fort Dix 6. I'd say Junior Bush and his boys have things well in hand, huh? You know, and as I watched this thing today, the very, I don't know how else to put it, tepid applause by his audience would have been humiliating to any other president, but not to this guy who evidently is oblivious to reality. And I'm really fascinated going around the net, looking at the blogosphere today, seeing the different opinions on it. Of course, it's probably running, maybe 80-20 against this capitulation, and I'm going to keep calling it that, because surrender, whatever you want to, that's what it was. And if you want to read, I shouldn't say this about the guy, because I normally enjoy reading his blog. But if you want to read a genuine, preposterous load of unadulterated crap about this this bill, go read Chris Bauer's latest column at mydd.com. Oh, man. Sorry, Chris. But he's trying to justify the actions of the Democratic leadership on the appropriations bill, and he comes out looking hypocritical, at the very least. And again, sorry, Chris, I just can't believe anybody writes such a ridiculous piece of manure. Trying to make it sound like it's not so bad. It is so bad. It's really that bad. I see the Troops Out Now Coalition has got a petition up. Troops Out Now Coalition. Look it up. Said today the Democratic leadership in the House and the Senate, who were brought to power with a mandate to stop the war, cut off war funds, and bring the troops home, betrayed that majority and agreed to continue to fund the war in Iraq. Their agreement to continue the occupation without even the pretense of conditions or timetables or benchmarks is the culmination of a months-long process during which the Democratic Party has worked to neutralize anti-war sentiment by appearing to oppose it while maneuvering to continue the vote for the funds. This war will not be ended by the politicians from either of Wall Street's political parties. Only a massive grassroots mobilization of resistance will bring this criminal occupation to an end. I could not agree with that more. Only a massive grassroots mobilization of resistance will bring this criminal occupation to an end. Troops Out Now Coalition, go sign that petition. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Susan from Columbia City.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. Up on the blog, there is also another petition from Democrats.com. They are asking you to take the Iraq vote pledge, meaning when any Democrat who voted for this Iraq bill comes up for re-election, find a qualified progressive candidate and support him. or her financially, vote-wise. In other words, do everything you can to get this incumbent out of office.
Oh, you're referring to the one entitled Mad at Congress, Take the Iraq Vote Pledge. Yeah, let's read this to folks, if you don't mind. Are you mad at Congress for surrendering to George Bush over the Iraq supplemental? So are we, and we're determined to do something about it. Together, we have spent the past 6 months doing everything in our power to persuade the new Democratic Congress to end the disastrous Iraq war. But even though a majority of Democrats, including Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, want to set a timetable for withdrawal, Republicans are marching in lockstep behind Bush, along with a crucial minority of Bush Democrats. So what can we do? Let's put them on notice that we will defeat all pro-war Republicans next November and replace Bush Democrats with progressive Democrats in next year's primary. Take the Iraq Vote Pledge. And the pledge says, I pledge to vote against every senator and representative who approves funding to continue the disastrous Iraq war. We've already given far too much of our blood and treasure and killed far too many Iraqis for a war based on lies. We are now occupying a hostile nation divided by civil war for the benefit of military contractors and big oil. The only way to support our troops is to bring them home now, and no funds should be used for any other purpose. If Congress fails to bring our troops home, I will do everything I can and urge everyone I know to defeat pro-war senators and representatives both in my party's primary elections and in the November general election. That's Democrats.com. Thank you for reminding me of that, Susan.
There's a link up on the main page of the blog. You can connect to it direct from there. It'll take you right to the petition. Sign it. Use it. Print out when the voter list is available. I'll be putting it up on the blog. Print that out like I will. I'm going to be posting it up on my wall. I'm never, ever going to forget. And every one of these dudes, if I have anything to say about it, is going to go down.
I completely agree. I am just so...
I'm so mad can't see straight.
I am too. It's a sad day.
There's one other thing that people might be interested in up on the blog. It's my tribute to our wonderful Congress that did this to us. It's Black Sabbath War Pigs. My tribute to the Democrats in Congress. Pictures from Iraq.
And the blog address?
It's also on the main page. It is
Of what? Head-On's main page?
Yeah, Head-On's main page.
Okay.
It's on the if you click on news and just go down, a tribute to Congress, and that should bring it up.
Okay. Well,
the YouTube video that I scrounged up and
okay. All righty. Hey, thank you for
them to a T.
Thank you for reminding us.
Yeah. Anyway, keep the faith, guys.
Thank you. Bye bye. You too.
Bye bye.
You know, in earlier I said, you know, a couple of days ago or back when it looked like maybe things were going to go right in this, I said the pot's starting to boil, and when it does, look out. Well, I was dead wrong. And I had a reader, a listener, send me their thoughts on this. And, you know, we went back and forth with a couple of emails, and, you know, he said, look out for friggin' what exactly? We're all in our separate, and this is important. This is an important point, and I don't know if you've thought about this. I never thought of it exactly this way. Said we're all in our separate little holes, looking at our screens and bitching and moaning. Back in the 60s, before people had individual and separate access to information, they had to come together. It looked a lot more impressive than a zillion comments on a blog. I think they've got a point. And I checked over to Daily Coast today and found some comments over there. Said we snoozed when we should have been marching. We voted when we should have been screaming. We dropped the ball. We swallowed too much bullshit. We allowed people to tell us to be patient and accept that all we'd ever be offered is the choice between two evils, the greater and the lesser, and all the while our world has practically grown more and more evil. And again from the Daily Coast, we've listened raptly to insincere politicians who only sought to manipulate us in the course of playing the little power games. We've selflessly volunteered our money, our time, and our talents, only to be promptly betrayed once the critter gets into office. They just lie their asses off to us while doing the bidding of their corporate masters. They scarcely even try to hide it anymore. Well, I certainly agree with that. And to go on from there, said, we've all seen America's considerable promise sucked out of her by the greed heads and criminals who've infiltrated our government and subverted the people's will. This nation is at a moment of crisis unlike any it has ever seen. This is the moment that we will either save our country or watch it go down the drain. It's time to organize in opposition to the government. It's time for nonviolent revolution. It's time to take it to the streets like we did back in the day. There is no point in discussing abandoning the Democratic Party. They've abandoned us. They've done nothing but screw us at every turn since we helped put them in power back in November. Let's get it going. Let's get organized. It's time to rise up and take our country back. That from Opal on the Daily Coast. Let's go to the phones. And by the way, you can call us at 866-546-5254. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello. Hello. Well, I hear myself in the background.
No point in discussing abandoning the Democratic Party. They've abandoned us. They've done nothing but screw us at every turn.
Okay. Well, I don't need to hear myself talk. 866-546-5254. You know, I expect to hear a lot more of this crap, but you know what? I've had it with the political strategy. I think we're way past that. I just don't care. So, you know, sweeping the Dems into office in 08 isn't going to accomplish a damn thing. I've harbored my suspicions that the only difference between the Dems and the R's was the amount of money paid for the golf club memberships. Now, I'm not so sure there's even that much difference between a lot of them. We just bought in, folks. The Democrats just bought stock in this war. A lot of stock in this war. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy.
Yes.
This is Pamela in Montana.
Yeah, hi.
Well, you're still talking, so I didn't know I'm talking to you or not. Am I alive?
I hear myself in the background. Am I hearing your speakers?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's...
My speakers.
There's a little bit of a delay.
Before that was probably me that got cut off. I got a busy signal when you picked up.
Oh, well, turn your speakers down because we all hear that in the background.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. First of all, I'm so angry I don't even know where to begin. You were talking about doing something, and I've been racking my mind all day, all week, all year, all 6 years, and I think we ought to stake them all out. I think, you know, I can't go to Washington. I have to work every day. But I think they talk about the Iraqi government going on vacation. Here these people are going off for Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day weekend. And I think we should stake them out. I think we need to go to our senators' homes, you know, do it in shifts, keep a presence there like Cindy Sheehan did. I mean, I just don't even know where to begin. There are I'm so outraged, I can't even speak. But that's the only thing I can think of to do. What do you think?
Well, except that they'll all be down in the Florida Keys or in the Bahamas this weekend. Have you got that kind of money to follow them? I think that's where half of them go.
No, I don't have the money to follow them.
Do they actually go back and live with their lowly constituents during these vacations?
Well, maybe here in Montana, because they're so used to pulling it over the wool over everybody's eyes here. But you're right, you know, places like New York and stuff, people are probably all going off to somewhere else.
Yeah, they're getting all these free trips to Key West and whatnot under the guise of the Homeland Security trips and all that nowadays. They probably are all off on vacation with the family.
Can you imagine what this guy's going to pull while they're gone? I mean, what recess appointment are we facing this time?
Well, and that brings up, you know, Pamela, that brings up an important point. We've all seen all the
hello.
We've seen the press about what Harry Reid's going to do to invoke. Hello. I think we lost Pamela. We've all seen the callback, Pamela. Don't know what happened there. Our phone didn't cut you off. We've all seen all this talk about Harry Reid. Well, we're going to avoid the recess appointments this summer because if we see that he's going to do one, hey, you know what, Harry? That's all a bunch of crap. That's all a load of crap you're loading off on people because it doesn't make any difference how short the recess is. If you leave for one day, he can make a recess appointment. Did you know that, Harry? And yet you've been telling the American public that, well, we're going to be tough and we're going to, Harry, forget it. You're not going to be tough. You're never going to be tough. You remember when you were the minority leader, how you made the excuses each time about how we've got to pick our battles. We can't fight on everything because we're the minority and we've got to pick our battles. I thought you had picked a battle at long last. I thought we had picked a battle. You said we had picked a battle. And we were going to hang in there for the duration and do the right thing. But you lost your nerve. You were afraid of the big bad Republicans that they might say naughty things about the Democrats if we withheld the money for the war, for the appropriations bill, without some benchmarks, without some timelines. We're afraid of the big bad Republicans. Oh, no, what they might do to us. Cowards. Damn cowards. Well, don't know what to say about it. I don't know what else to say about it. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red. A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed. Go right to the source and ask the horse. He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Ed.
another day. Everybody looking, swore they'd never see me cry. You'd never see me cry. Stepping out, everyone can see my face. All the things I can't erase from my life, everybody
Oh, yes, we're back on the Guy James Show. Yes, I know, everybody is listening to the hearings today. Everybody is listening to Monica. And we'll talk about it a little later, probably after the top of the hour, but I want to ask this question. As we're all glued to the TV today, or the radio, or C-SPAN, or however you're listening to this debacle, what's being accomplished by it? Have you thought about that? Is anything going to come of it? Give you 100-to-1 odds, nothing comes of it. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Why? Well, number one, the DOJ is stonewalling, and so we're not going to get any accurate information. That's probably the number one reason. And I just, I don't think the Democratic politicians got guts enough to really go after anybody anyway. Look at how these hearings are going today, the little bit I've watched. Republicans have made a charade out of it, have they not? Haven't they? You bet they have. I mean, oh yes, we've got our choir over on this side watching, but do you think these hearings are doing anything to convince anybody that hasn't chosen up sides already? Convince them of anything? I don't think so. And I don't think they're going to. 866-546-5254. Do you ever make yourself a note and then lose it? I did that today. During the show already. Don't know what I did with it. Here we go. Found my note. But, you know, the hearings are getting to be a joke. They really are. And I don't care which hearings they are. I don't think it makes any difference anymore. I'm kind of tired of it. You know, we got this deal about the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now they're sending a note to Karl Rove. You better come on up here and testify or we'll be really mad, Carl, if you don't. Any Democrats in any real position of authority have the guts to do anything about it? Tell me who that might be. Anybody. Anybody. Who might it be? Who's going to make Karl Rove come down to the Senate Judiciary Committee and testify? I think we all know the answer to that. Nobody. Nobody. And once again, I want to apologize to everybody. I'm in such a rotten mood today over all this. I'm thinking straight, but I'm so ashamed. I am so ashamed of the Democratic Party today, the leadership. Not ashamed of what the Democratic Party should be, what it has always stood for, and what it ought to be, and what I signed up for on the Democratic Party. I'm not a bit ashamed of that, and I never will be. but I am ashamed of the fact that they're gone away from us. And I was looking through some of the ridiculous statements, some ridiculous, some not, by Democrats trying to decide what to do on this appropriation bill. I see Representative James Moran of Democrat of Virginia. He said, it seems to me that Congress should exercise the power of the purse. Now, here's a man that actually understands the way it ought to be. And kudos to Representative James Moran, Democrat of Virginia. He said, it seems to me that Congress should exercise the power of the purse, reflecting the will of the people. I think the will of the people is that this war be brought to a conclusion. Well, right you are, Representative Moran. Yes. And House Democratic leaders who announced the deal, and did you see how grim-faced they were in the press conference because they knew they'd been stomped on by Junior Bush? Even after that, they maintained that they'd forced a stubborn president to accept benchmarks with potential repercussions. And what are those? They just didn't want to leave town over the Memorial Day weekend, being accused of failing to support the troops. I would have sent the same bill back to him 15 times if it had to. And honest to God, I don't know where Nancy Pelosi is on this. I hear her saying one thing. I wonder what she's really going to do. She was looking rather somber during this whole mess yesterday. She's been an opponent of the war. And she said, and this is the thing that puzzles me. She said she might not even vote for the war money when it comes to the House floor on the floor later this week. Said she might not even vote for it. Might not. What the hell, Nancy? You've been an opponent of this war. You know the score on this. You're the one that went to the White House and said the president ought to accept responsibility, and he has not. So why would you say you might not vote for the war money when it comes to the House floor later this week? Said I'm not likely to vote for something that doesn't have a timetable or a goal. You know, Nancy, this was the time to stand in up and say, I will not vote for this. I will not. All the rhetoric we've heard from the Democrats. Steny Hoyer said that the three-month fight over war funding had changed the terms of the debate in Washington. Steny Hoyer said, neither side can do something without the other. Democrats cannot adopt a policy without the president vetoing it. And the president cannot ignore the Congress as he did in the first 6 years of his presidency. Steny, earth to Steny. What do you mean he can't ignore the Congress as he did in the first 6 years? You don't feel that you've been ignored on this appropriations bill just because you got a few side issues included in it? A little pork in it? You don't think that you've been ignored? You don't think that Bush got everything he wanted? Even more than he asked for? What an obscene statement to make. Can't ignore the Congress as he did in his first 6 years of his presidency. Who the hell are you kidding, Steny Hoyer? And we got Representative Mike Honda, a Democrat of San Jose, California. He said he's an anti-war Democrat, but he's voted with his leaders so far. He said, I want to know what the rationale is for this. I'm looking at it very closely. What? And Maurice Hinchley, Democrat of New York, said, I'm not for it, but I've got to look at it carefully before I decide. Where's the backbone of these people? Where is the backbone? But he did say that the Democratic effort's been valuable. And let me quote him. He said, what Democrats have done so far is assert what needs to be done, and the president refused it, giving another demonstration of this administration's irresponsibility. Well, so what? He still did what he wanted to do. And you got people like Ray LaHood, you know, Republican from Illinois. He was one of the 11 that went down to the White House. He said this new bill was a win for the president. He said it shows the power of the president's bully pulpit. He would not blink, and they did. Well, Ray, you're absolutely right on that. Blink is exactly what the Democrats did. They even asked old Mitch McConnell. They asked him, did the Democrats lose in this? He said, well, there's no cheering yet. We haven't achieved the goal, but I'm optimistic we'll achieve 4 months spending without a surrender date. Surrender date. They've done well at framing the issues, have they not? We've used their nomenclature. The press is using it. Surrender. That's the only way out of Iraq is to surrender, they say. We could do like we did in Vietnam's claim we won and then leave. Oh, my. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We hope you'll join us today here on the program. Let's see. We've done the Truth Out petition and the Democrats.com petition. I guess we've talked about both of those. I see someone mentioned on the chat room, Sam Kinison. That's a kind of Sam Kinison was my very favorite comedian. Never saw a guy other than him that could make me crack up laughing so bad that my ribs hurt. Oh, yeah, old Sammy. Dead but not forgotten. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, how are you doing?
Okay.
This is Ray.
Hi, Ray.
I just wanted to say it sounds to me like the president is ransoming our troops. You know, he's basically kidnapped them, stuck them over there, and said, "Okay, do your job. We're not going to bring you home until you finish. If we run out of money, we'll just put in a ransom for you."
Yeah, they're trapped, all right. I mean, they're at his mercy. They're at nobody else's mercy. They're at his mercy.
That's true.
When he decides they can come home, and that's when they'll come home, and not until. Of course, I truly believe now, Ray, that Bush won't decide when they come home. It'll be the next president or the president after that, or maybe even two presidents after that.
He made that promise already.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not going to take responsibility for this. Neither are the Democrats. That's obvious.
Unfortunately.
That's obvious.
But anyway, that's all I had to say.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
No one's going to take responsibility for this. After all, they are politicians. And politicians don't take the responsibility for anything, hardly ever, unless you're a Harry Truman, say the buck stops here. Isn't it time somebody did that? Isn't it time somebody in Washington could summon the courage to say the buck stops here? Couldn't Harry Reid have dug in and put up a stand on this? I don't understand it. I don't think I ever will. I can't imagine, knowing what the polls say right now, that Harry Reid was chicken enough to do it this way. I'm sorry, and I don't mean to belabor the point, but I've done a lot of head shaking here since yesterday on this. I'm amazed. I really am. I've run out of adjectives to use for it. I just don't know what else to say. I didn't think they'd do it. I had given them a second chance. Like I said, we all helped vote them in, and they stab us in the back like this, and can't even come up with a good reason why. But I guess the best reason why is what I mentioned before. They're gutless cowards. Not all of them. But anybody going along with this appropriations bill would not get my vote under any circumstances. Absolutely not. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve anybody's vote. Well, we're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. Check out and see if there's any be any late-breaking developments that really matter. You're listening to The Guy James Show, and I'm glad you are, here on the Head On Radio Network. And we'll be back after you've heard a moment or two of actual news.
This is the Quality News Network. Iraqi police have recovered the body of a man in the Euphrates River believed to be one of the missing U.S. soldiers kidnapped in Iraq 11 days ago. There were multiple gunshot wounds on the body that was half-clothed in a U.S. military uniform. Coalition forces continue to search for the two remaining soldiers abducted in an ambush on May 12th. The International Atomic Energy Agency, the U.N.'s nuclear watchdog group, says Iran has missed another 60-day deadline. UN Security Council resolutions call for Iran to suspend its uranium enrichment or face escalating sanctions. In the Persian Gulf, nine U.S. Navy ships, including two aircraft carriers, arrived today off the coast of Iran. 17,000 U.S. sailors and Marines will conduct exercises to demonstrate the U.S.'s commitment to Gulf security. In Diyala Province, 22 people were killed and 40 wounded when a suicide bomber detonated explosives in a cafe. In a separate attack, a car bomb killed two people and wounded 15 in an outdoor market south of Baghdad. A fragile ceasefire is still holding this morning between the Lebanese army and Islamic militants hiding in a Palestinian refugee camp. Days of fighting have killed many civilians and have led to thousands of Palestinians fleeing the camp to escape the violence. UN aid workers today will attempt to get food, water, and medicine into the 30,000-person refugee camp, as well as remove the dead and wounded caught in the crossfire. In Turkey, a bomb detonated in the Ankara shopping mall has killed 6 and wounded 80. A Kurdish minority in the south of the country is to blame. The latest war funding bill is now in Congress, and it does not contain a timetable for troop withdrawal. The measure, which is expected to pass, will provide over $100 billion of war funding and another $17 billion for domestic and military-related spending not requested by the president. In Washington, the Senate has rejected an attempt to drop a key provision of the controversial immigration bill. Senators voted 2-1 to keep the guest worker portion of the legislation. Debate over the bill continues today. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez's former White House liaison, Monica Goodling, said, quote, she crossed the line. Goodling, who's been granted immunity, admitted in front of a Senate Judiciary Committee she asked improper political questions of prospective U.S. attorneys. Goodling is the latest person to testify about the firing of 8 U.S. attorneys. In China, 28 people have been arrested and charged with organizing massive riots over Beijing's family planning policies, where it is illegal there to have more than one child. And in Springfield, Missouri, federal immigration agents raided a poultry plant and arrested 100 undocumented immigrants. This is the Quality News Network.
We want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea, on California's beautiful central coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple keystrokes and you're visiting a beautiful website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for. Quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, quiet, and the best shops, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that honest information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
A study of rainfall in the U.S. has revealed Mobile, Alabama is the wettest community in the nation, receiving more than 5 feet of rain annually. Pensacola, Florida, New Orleans, and West Palm Beach, Florida follow. Alaska and Hawaii were not included in the research. All 13,000 New York City taxis will be required to go hybrid within the next 5 years. The city's mayor, Michael Bloomberg, says the change will reduce air pollution and affect climate change. Medtronic posted a 10% increase in quarterly earnings on a net income of $812 million. Revenues rose 7%. Medtronic credits robust sales of its vascular, neurology, and diabetes products. products. Record label EMI has approved a buyout from private equity fund Terra Firma. $6.3 billion is being offered. EMI publishes the Beatles' music. And BJ's Wholesale Club reported an 11% decrease in quarterly profits. Sales rose to slightly more than $2 billion. The company says it is beginning to fight competition by offering more high-end foods. The owner of the Outback restaurant chain, OSI Restaurant Partners, has agreed to acquisition by a takeover group led by Bain Capital and Catatron Partners. The deal is valued at $3.1 billion. And Payless Shoes will acquire Shoemaker StrideRight, adding Keds and other brands to its discount shoe chain. The deal is valued at about $800 million. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $65.50 a barrel, and on Wall Street, the Dow is up 29 points and the NASDAQ is up 6. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said.
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope you got a little something out of the news. I did. I think I'll go to New York and start a hybrid car dealership for the taxis. Man, can you imagine all 13,000, what did they say, 13,000 New York taxi cabs got to be hybrid in 5 years? Whew, that'd be a pretty good sale right there. Amazing place with taxi cabs in New York City. My goodness, it certainly is. So that'll be interesting to see if they get that done. Bloomberg, I don't know, pretty good mayor of New York, I think, from what I've seen, from what I've heard. My friends in New York, I have some friends in New York, and they're Democrats. And they tell me that they're very satisfied with Bloomberg as their mayor. They also told me that they were not satisfied, regardless of all the huff and puff and tough-on-crime crap that Rudy Giuliani put out. They thought that he was another underworld character, which I think we shall see. I think we shall see. Are the hearings over today? Is that it? Are they finally over? My God. Monica. Did you see that I didn't know this until this morning. A bomb plot thwarted at Falwell's funeral? Man, is that like going out with a bang? Students arrested with homemade bombs, three other suspects thought. Even in death, this is from ABC News, even in death, the Reverend Jerry Falwell rouses the most volatile of emotions. A small group of protesters gathered near the funeral service to criticize the man who mobilized Christian evangelicals and made them a major force in American politics, often by playing on social prejudices. Oh, do tell. It goes on to say, a group of students from Falwell's Liberty University staged a counter-protest. and Campbell County authorities arrested, I know this is hard for you to believe, arrested a Liberty University student for having several homemade bombs in his car. Now, this is a student going to the exalted, pure of heart, Liberty University. I thought the whole damn place had a big halo over the top of it, and his kids got caught with bombs in his car. The student, 19-year-old Mark D. Uhl of Amosville, Virginia, reportedly told authorities that he was making the bombs to stop protesters from disrupting the funeral service. Think about that. Think about the mental image of that. They're having a funeral, see? And their protesters are going up there. Oh, we hate Jerry. We hate Jerry. You know, what's his name? Fred Phelps and his group was going to be there. I know that. Oh, boy. What a group that is. So this guy is the student of Liberty University. Thought he would stop them from disrupting the funeral by throwing bombs at them. Now, that'll work. If anything that would stop somebody from protesting a funeral, it would certainly be a few bombs. Yeah, that stopped the disruption, all right. The devices were made of a combination of gasoline and detergent. How does that work? A law enforcement official told ABC News Pierre Thomas they were slow burn, according to the official, and would not have been very destructive. There were indications that there were others involved. Oh, no. Oh, please tell me it's not true that there would be more than one Liberty University student involved in manufacturing these devices. And said, we're still investigating these individuals with the assistance of ATF, Virginia State Police, and the FBI. This is really something. They have a funeral for old Jerry Falwell, and before they can even put him down, they've got the ATF, the Virginia State Police, and the FBI there. Well, 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 well. At the time, it is not believed that these devices were going to be used to interrupt the funeral services at Liberty University, the Campbell County Sheriff's Office said in a release. Well, now wait a minute. Don't we have the statement from the student who said he was going to use them? The three other suspects are being sought, one of whom is a soldier from Fort Benning, Georgia, and another is a high school student. No information was available on the third suspect. It could have been Pat Robertson. I don't know. Authorities were alerted to the potential bomb plot after a relative who calls to say that he had homemade bombs in his possession. They searched his car and found five incendiary devices in the trunk. He's been held under no bond. Thousands came to honor the man who mobilized Christian evangelicals. Falwell, often called the father of Christian conservative movement, died suddenly last week at 73 years of age, and thousands flocked to the Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. That's the proper word for it, isn't it? Flocked. Which Falwell founded 50 years ago for the funeral services. The church had just 35 parishioners when Falwell began preaching there in 1956, and at Tuesday's service, its 6,000 seats were filled by people who'd come to say goodbye. I know that the Reverend, what's his name? Not Billy, but the boy, Franklin Graham, preached and said he sent all his kids to Liberty University, so it must be a really cool place. But they tagged this on the end of the story. It said, no national Republicans attended Tuesday's funeral, including none of the GOP presidential candidates. And honest to God, it actually says this on the ABC News feed on this. It said, all said they were too busy. They all said they were too busy to attend old Jerry's funeral. Well, my gosh, what do you know? Too busy indeed. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to call the program. And another nice story here. Thought you'd enjoy hearing about the old Dukester, you know, that he's been put away. And we're talking about the Dukester, Randall Duke Cunningham, the most corrupt congressman ever caught. There's a new book out by Marcus Stern, Jerry Kramer, Dean Calbraith, and George Condon, and they're the authors of a newly released book called The Wrong Stuff, The Extraordinary Saga of Randy Duke Cunningham, the most corrupt congressman, and I like the last part of it, ever caught. And boy, they got that right. The four were part of the Copley News Service and San Diego Union Tribune team that won a Pulitzer Prize last year for exposing the bribes that defense contractors Brent Wilkes and Miss Wade paid to Cunningham, who's now serving 8 years and 4 months at federal prison in Tucson, Arizona. And I thought you might enjoy hearing a little bit about this story. Mitch Wade, it says, was treating Cunningham to a nice lunch at the Daily Grill in Georgetown, and they were talking about the future. And Cunningham pulled out a piece of his own congressional stationery. He made a line of numbers down the left side of the stationery in which he wrote out the millions of dollars in contracts that he could provide to Wade, up to $25 million. And he put corresponding numbers down the right-hand side of the column in the tens of thousands of dollars, which is what he expected to get in the form of kickbacks or bribes, or what he would call gifts. That makes it better, from Wade. In exchange for the first $16 million in contracts he delivered to Wade, Cunningham was given possession of a yacht called the Buoy Toy, B-U-O-Y, which he eventually renamed the Dukester. Wade purchased it for Cunningham with a cashier's check for $140,000. Well, it must have been a real hulk, because you can't buy any kind of a yacht for $140,000, believe me. And according to the bribe menu, Cunningham would get another $50,000 for every additional $1 million that he got Wade in contracts. But after getting to $20 million, there was a discount rate where he would get $25,000 per million in contracts. And that's why Cunningham was so intense about getting contracts through federal earmarks. He'd bully his own staff to make sure that the contracts went to Wade. And I'll give you an example of how these people screw the government and guys, congressmen like Cunningham. And I think we, if we have any sense about us, know that he's most certainly not the only one. He's just the one that got caught, like the book says. Wade got a $6.3 million earmark for a storage device for an agency called the Counterintelligence Field Activity, or the CIFA, which hadn't asked for the device. And it's not clear that it was ever used. He got $6.3 million for it, and he got the contract because Cunningham got it for him. And so he gets this $6.3 million for this storage device and gave it to this government agency who hadn't asked for it. And it's not clear that they ever used it. And Wade billed the government the full $6.3 million for this device, though he subcontracted the project to Wilkes, who bought it off the shelf for $700,000 and delivered it to the Counterintelligence Field Activity. Not bad. You pay $700,000 for something, you get $6.3 million for it from the government. And here's a story that I thought was just disgusting. Just absolutely disgusting. They went on to say, the authors of the book says, you have a man who achieved hero status during the Vietnam War and later in his life. He's exposed as being completely besotted with greed. We looked at his childhood in the 1940s. He was an average kid, maybe with a penchant for bullying, but nothing out of the ordinary. Then in 1972, he shot down three MiGs over Vietnam in 7 minutes and was shot down himself. He returned home to the U.S. a war hero, to parades and honors and awards. And almost immediately, and this is the interesting part of this whole story, almost immediately you begin to see a mix of greed and entitlement on his part. He was quickly nominated for the Navy Cross, which is the highest medal the Navy awards. But he and his radio man went to their commander, Ron McEwen, and said they wanted to hold out for the Medal of Honor. McEwen was stunned. He told them, "You don't hold out for the Medal of Honor, you die for it." And McEwen told the authors of the book that Cunningham wanted the Medal of Honor because it came with a lifetime stipend, which is calculated to be about $100 a month. I didn't know that, did you? Did you know that? Under great pressure, he accepted the Navy Cross, but according to his wife, he always felt cheated about that. Did he have any remorse for his crimes? Certainly not. He feels railroaded and blames his predicament on Mitchell Wade, who was his co-conspirator on the whole deal. You know, he told at his sentencing on March 3rd, 2006, he told the court, and some of you remember seeing this, he told the court that repentance will be a lifelong endeavor. No man has ever been more sorry. And he accepted responsibility for his crimes. But after he was sentenced and taken away to jail at San Diego, he told the deputy federal marshal who put him in his cell, a guy named Dave Dallier, that it was all a misunderstanding, that he'd been ramrodded. And his wife, Nancy Cunningham, said in an interview with Kitty Kelly last year that he claimed he was innocent, that he'd been railroaded by the government, that he'd signed the plea agreement under duress, and even thinks he'll be pardoned by President Bush. Who knows? He lied up to the moment that he pleaded guilty and engaged in cover-up practices, clumsy as they were. Interesting story about him and there's a long, long story that goes with this. But he had a hot tub on his $140,000 yacht. It must have been a real scow. And he had a hot tub on it, and he liked to get naked in the hot tub in front of everybody else. And he always invited everybody to get naked and get in the hot tub with him. And the only one that would get naked and get in the hot tub with him was some sleazy girlfriend that he had. Not his wife, some sleazy girlfriend. And the rest of them wouldn't even get in it because it seems that he was so cheap that he siphoned the water for the hot tub out of the Potomac River. It wasn't treated or anything, and people said it was so foul that it left a black ring around the sides of the hot tub, and nobody would get in it but Duke Cunningham, a naked Dick Duke Cunningham, and his girlfriend. I think she was a stewardess or something. I'm not sure. My pardon to all the stewardesses. 866-546-5254. Almost forgot the phone number. 866-546-5254. Do give us a call. We'll be happy to hear from you during the show today. I realize a lot of people are listening to these worthless hearings, but so be it. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
insects, power in the sea, power in the snow, time in me, power in the blossom, power in the stone, power in the song, sung alone, power in the wheat, power in the rain, power in the sun, right up the hurricane.
Me and Jigs, staring at the ceiling, the stars above the radar range. A song from a station wagon laying foundations on the shadows over paths and plains. Well, I'm feeling good. It's 7 o'clock. We're gonna drive across the county line and find Saturday night like an orphan child with the good days left behind. Well, I'm not sure we can stay. Going down, and it's another day. Me and my friends sitting in the park, drinking beer underneath the trees. Lying on your backs, and the sun goes down. You know it's perfect because you gotta leave on a Saturday night in a town like this. I forget all my songs about trains. Bar with the jukebox and you and my arm living on earth is pretty much the same. And I'm not sure that we can make it stay. The sun's going down and it's the end of the day.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Guy James Show. Just about, well, we've got about 28, 29 minutes almost past the hour. And we're glad to have all of you along with us today. You can call the program at 866-546-5254. That is toll free, you know. 866-546-5254. Dear Monica, out there testifying today, so courageous. I liked her explanation for caging. So far off the mark, couldn't be more wrong. And I guess most of the congressmen sit there and went, oh, okay. I guess they don't know what caging is. And dear Monica sitting there said, well, I made some mistakes. You know, she followed the exact same tact as Gonzo and his other people. Come in and said, oh, you know, we should have handled it differently. I made some mistakes, and I regret that. And then lie their asses off. I don't know. I don't recall. That's the best I can do. McNulty didn't recall either. And the one I love today, I believe I crossed the line of the civil service laws, but I didn't mean to. Now, here's someone high up in the command structure of the Department of Justice and actually makes a statement. This twit, this little blonde-haired twit, said, I believe I crossed the line of the civil service laws, but I didn't mean to. Honey, you didn't mean to? I don't know what would be a good analogy here. I shoved somebody off the bridge, but I didn't mean to. Yes, my gun went off inside that bank, but I didn't mean for it to. I killed my neighbor, but I didn't mean to. This woman is supposedly a good lawyer, competent in the ways of the law, working for the Department of Justice, a place that they should know the laws better than just about any place else you can imagine. I crossed the line of civil service laws, but I didn't mean to. And then the congressman sat there and, oh, okay. Didn't mean to. And has she turned over all the documents that they asked for? Hell no. Not going to either. Set on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Phil up in Daytona Beach.
Hi, Phil.
Hi. Boy, I share your frustration. And earlier on in the show, you read an email or a post from some fella describing the difference between now all of us at our computer screens being ticked off and back in the 60s where you had to go outside and congregate with others in order to get the information, and that the folks found themselves outside together as a force in doing so, you know.
I thought he made a good point. I liked that point.
Well, you know, that's still doable, and you know, last time I called in, I mentioned the organization Code Pink, which is very active in, you know, and they don't take sides, Democrat or Republican, you know, they take sides right or wrong, and they hound these Democrats, you know, just as much.
Well,
which I sign on to that. You know?
I certainly do as well.
I mean, Americans first and right first. And,
yep.
And so there are over 300 chapters, and I remember a caller after I got off the line said, you know, what good is it if there's only a couple few out there? Well, I'll tell you, a couple few is more than zero, you see. And you get a couple few, it gives you a chance to get a couple few more until you do get these numbers. We're up against something pretty big, Guy, and it's going to take actual work to right this wrong.
We're up against the greatest threat this nation has ever known, and it's setting in Washington, D.C.
You got it. We've had the soft, easy way sitting on our asses and, you know, clicking a keyboard stroke and sending a fax and making a call to the White House. Is, you know, that's necessary, yes, but this is going to take more than that, and I think the American people aren't used to doing more or you know, do you know what I mean?
Oh, I do. I do. And I still say a lot of it's because of the lack of a draft, not that I'm promoting that.
Yeah.
But everybody had a stake the last time. You knew somebody, you had a relative, everybody had a relative or knew somebody or themselves was caught up in that damn war. And this time it's spread too thin. But
more and more, you know, when you have 3 out of 4 American people saying, you know, enough already, and this Congress is not serving us, they're serving the war machine. You know, the same. I mean, they are, Guy. You know, our Congress has been stolen from us.
Phil, you're exactly right. The military-industrial complex are the masters of the people running mm-hmm. this war, not us. No, they don't look at us as their masters, not at all.
No, and that's why we really have to give it a fight. And they're not going to all of a sudden develop a, you know, some kind of sense of conscience, you know,
no.
Right or wrong.
No.
And for those of us who, I mean, I get depressed. I sometimes draw the blinds and lay in bed, you know, I'll admit to this. This could get really overwhelming, but we've got to physically. I tell you when I do feel hope, Guy, is I made a commitment. One night a week, I go to our town's, our city's Code Pink anti-war demonstration, and I'm there every Thursday night, you know, and I get the body out of the house and I go there. And guess what? You know, I would like to say that the two other local towns or cities have started up their own weekly demonstrations without us having to start them. You know, Kathy and I helped get one started in the past out in another town, and we had been talking about getting one started in this town that other people started upon themselves, you know, took it upon themselves to start it. So,
well, you know, Phil, somehow these politicians, our Democratic leadership, somehow they have figured that they can get away with this. They have figured politically that they've been advised that they can get away with this political and hold on to their political asses now, because that's, let's face it, that's all they care about in the first place.
Yes.
And I'd like to know who advised them of this and how could they possibly come to that conclusion? I do they know something really big that we don't know?
I believe they're not seeing any resistance, or not enough resistance.
So you don't think they have any idea how massive the resistance is?
Well, it's not showing itself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Physically showing itself, and I'd like to disagree with that fellow who called in last week and said that just a handful of people is a way, you know, said something to the effect that it's a waste of time or might even be worse. We've got there was a DeBary, Florida, out here near DeLand in, you know, West Volusia County. 16-year-old kid took it upon him. He actually came to our demonstration in Daytona Beach a few times. 16-year-old kid. And, you know, because he saw us on the corner. And we have a sign out there that says, park and join us. We're here every Thursday. And we hand out flyers with our contact information on and some DVDs and stuff. And he started one out in DeBary with a bunch of kids his own age and other people.
I'm proud of those kids.
Yeah,
I'm proud of those kids at that age to take the social responsibility to get out and do that and understand right from wrong and where this nation ought to go. That's getting off on the right foot, if you ask me.
Well, my point is, you know, there are a handful of us out there every Thursday. We have that sign, park and join us. We hand out the flyers. And, yeah, we haven't grown to 100 people every Thursday. But guess what? One of these kids who hooked up with us on a Thursday night took it upon himself to take it back to his hometown and start one in his hometown now. And then there's this other group down in New Smyrna Beach that started one down there as well on a Thursday night. So we've got to – people get out there. I mean, things are not going to change until we change them.
Right. And, Phil, you know, I think you're illustrating exactly the famous old Chinese proverb that everybody knows, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
And you've
taken that step.
And we need others listening, too. I mean, you know, I know I've said this before, Guy, but, you know, the average American household watches, you know, 4.83 hours of television per day. It's 34 hours a week. God, you know, if you're not attending a weekly demonstration, there's got to be some TV time in there that you can give up. And just, it doesn't have to be 100 people on the corner. Just be there, be consistent. And you know, it's like the old, you know, you go to a high school dance or a wedding or whatever, you know, and no one's dancing until somebody's like the first couple or two out on the dance floor, you know. And if there's not one in your hometown, CodePinkAlert.org. There's over 300 chapters. Don't reinvent the wheel. Just join up. And these people have gotten a lot of experience over the past 4 or 5 years on how to, you know, fight this fight that we're up against. And I'd say join up. Come on, join us.
Well, I hope people do.
Yeah.
It's going to come to that. I did see some rumbling today. I forget which organization it is. Trying to organize a massive, massive, you know, a hell of a big protest in Washington in August.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping for, you know, one of those deals where they get several hundred thousand people or perhaps a million. I'd say by then maybe the anger will build to that. I don't know. I'm having a little less faith in the
yeah.
American people than I used to have, but. Yeah, I, like you, it's one of those things. I'm not a drinking man, but that when I first heard all this yesterday, I thought, oh, get out the whiskey and get drunk.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. Phil, well, thanks for your call, and yeah. thanks for what you do and all you do, and you're an inspiration to other people. And I'm so glad to hear that you're talking about the young people. That does my heart good to hear that.
Hey, and if a 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid could do it, but any one of our listeners can too, Guy, you know?
Yeah. Well, I started when I was 15. I'm glad to hear other 15-year-olds are out there.
Let's get out there. Let's give them, let's fight for what's right. Thanks, Guy.
Thanks, Phil.
Bye-bye.
Let's head on over to line one here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi. I'm calling from Oregon. I had a couple thoughts about what it feels like to be at one of these little local demonstrations.
Yes, sir.
We started one in our small town in Oregon about 3 weeks ago.
Any particular affiliation?
Nope.
Okay.
Just somebody, I think somebody local sent out some emails and said, let's go down there and do this.
Well, you Oregonians, you know, you're known as a bunch of independent thinking people.
That's true.
You are.
A very, very small rural town with a pretty, tends to vote Republican. We went down there, there's 15 of us, and then last week after there's a few more, last week there's about 20 of us. And I thought it might feel kind of silly to be there, strangely enough. But the funny thing
you
is...
You thought it would. Now tell me how you really felt when it was when you were there.
Well, when I got there, the cars trickle by. We stand at the edge of the city park on what's called Main Street, but it's not like a major thoroughfare. It's a small town. And the cars trickle by, and they wave and they honk. Two-thirds of the cars going by wave excitedly.
Mm-hmm.
And... So, well, we got the finger twice, maybe, and maybe 100 positives.
Yeah. Well, I think that reflects the actual mood of the country on this, don't you?
And you leave from this thing, I thought I might feel silly. You leave feeling wonderful, because when have you had 100 people waving at you saying you're doing a good thing?
Darn right.
And then as I was coming home last time, I realized, you know, I'm not just helping the other 20 people express themselves. I was helping all these 100 people that went by express themselves.
That's
too.
Right. That's right.
So this little tiny bit of us is making, you know, it spreads.
Exactly right. Well, when every small town, every village, every city in America starts having people in the streets, then it shall come to pass what mm-hmm. we really need on this. And that's the only way.
Some of us say, get out of Iraq. Let me make your own poster, whatever. Some say... peace. Some say impeach. And it's personal.
Sure.
And I think we got to get it out there.
Well, we sure do. And, you know, that's part of what this program's about, and to bring people together and endeavors like this. And I hope you'll continue to do it. And I applaud you for doing what you're doing. And it's a good thing. It's
yeah.
a good thing. And I think now you know you don't feel silly.
Oh, yeah.
You feel like
and the message to everybody is do it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Thanks for your call. Good call.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Do you suppose? Just maybe that they might have lit the match yesterday. You think it might have just lit the fuse that needed to be lit, that the American people will get so damn angry. But they'll rise up and do something about this. Is this one of those cases where every cloud's got the silver lining and all those little sayings like that? Is this one of those times? Will this be the spark? What really gets America going on this? I certainly hope so. Something needs to get America going. You know, that's what this program is all about. It's about trying to see that people do the right thing in this country. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy. California Dave.
Hi, Dave.
I like very much Phil's thinking, and you're Oregonian there, too, and I'm involved, several of us here, involved in demonstrations every week. I think just prior to going into it, you were saying the arrogance that they have, is there something that they know that, you know? And I think I interpret it to mean that we don't care how you vote, we don't care how you think, because we control those elections, and that's, to me, that's priority one, getting rid of that damn thing. But anyway, your earlier conversation, that is that there are in our Congress some exceptions. There are some really good people in there. You have to wonder, what's a good person like you doing in a rat hole like this? But, and the rest of them, I think, have their hands out to the big special interests that are profiting from this war, and they're in no rush to end all that. That's the way I'm reading that, and that's my congressman and certainly yours. Several of them there in Florida.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. My congressman here, Connie Mack.
Yeah, I know.
And I see Feeney had something to say today at the other hearing, and, you know, he's an out-and-out crook.
I know he is. He now ranks as, I think, the third, one of the top three most corrupt members of Congress, and that is something in this Congress.
It certainly is.
You have to really go some to get up that high.
You sure do, and Feeney's right near the top, and here he is being all righteous today in these hearings. I hate to even hear from the guy, but nah.
Well, I'd say that here, when we're in our demonstrations, we get 100-1 favorable people. We love you, blowing their horns and waving.
Good.
And you can tell that he's running on a IQ not much better than an orange tree or something, with his finger in the air telling us about how wonderful the war is, you know.
Yeah.
You can guess who he's listening to.
Well, Dave, if you had to guess, I was thinking about this earlier today. If you had to guess, I look at Korea, and I look at the DMZ, and I see the soldiers that we've got stationed in Korea. Well, we have people in Iraq and the Middle East as long as we've had them in Korea. I think we will.
Well, you know what I'd like to see is who are the members of Congress that voted to continue funding this war. I'm sure the Republicans are all in there. Did any of them cross over?
Oh, there'll be a few, but the Republicans are going to put it through with a, you know, with a healthy dose of Democrats in there that'll vote for it. It'll pass easily, I'm sure.
Some of them mind because, you know, Halliburton, Lockheed Martin, and whatnot, they're dumping the big bucks on them.
You'll be able to see it. We'll get the list, and we'll certainly check it out with open secrets and see who donates what to whom. And, you know, there's always a trail. You know, this recent pharmacy, big pharma bill that went through, you know, I mean, about not letting prohibiting foreign drugs from coming into the country. You could go right down the list and see that big pharma has contributed to those who voted to keep other drugs out of the country. You could see it. I mean, it's as plain as the nose on your face. So, you know, who are they kidding anymore?
Well, I spent most of the day on your other subject listening to Monica Tu. She's been primed real well. She's probably been working with Rove and the attorneys because she sounds credible. She is representing and speaking for the most corrupt administration in the world in the history of this country, and nothing can be truthful, but she's sounding credible. And
she came off, the Republicans sat there to tell her how great she was, how great her education was at the great Regent University. My God, you'd think a Regent University was Harvard Law School after hearing those guys talk today.
I think that was not accurate either, but I do believe there are some members of this committee, I think, that have the goods on her. I think they're going to get her to lie, and then they're going to avoid the, she's been granted immunity.
Oh, yeah, but not from perjury. I mean, you know, perjury is perjury. No matter, you can have immunity, but still commit perjury.
Well, I think some of them have talked directly to people that either were among those that got fired or were on the inside that know what was done. She herself had to, on 3 points, agree that Gonzalez had misrepresented the truth in his testimony.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, Dave, I'm so cynical now. What'll come of it? Nothing. I really believe that. If I were a betting man, and I go to Vegas once every 30 years, whether I need to or not, I'd bet nothing whatsoever comes of it. I really would. I'm that cynical now that they will not lay a glove on them. I believe that. I really do.
Well, I certainly know that Conyer, Lee, Waters, a couple of others there would like to see Gonzalez gone.
Oh, sure, they would like to, and he may end up leaving. Who knows? But it still won't damage this administration whatsoever. They don't care.
And they'll find somebody just as criminal to put in his place.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you see so accurately the threat that this country is under, and, you know, you motivate people to want to do what we can to change it all, and I so appreciate that.
Well, Dave, thank you. And, you know, when I talk to people, I talked to somebody recently here close to where I live, and someone I haven't known very long, and I mentioned about how I firmly believe that George Bush, this administration, is the greatest threat to this nation that we've ever had. And they looked at me aghast. I said, how can you say that? You don't believe that. I believe that to the depth of my soul, I believe that. How could you not? And yet there's so many people so ignorant, intelligent people who are ignorant.
A great threat to the rest of the world, and they are aware of it, I think, much more so than us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The rest of the world is acutely aware of it. You're right, exactly. More so than us, absolutely. Dave, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
Thank you for being there, guy.
Thank you. And Monica said, I made some mistakes. I made some mistakes. Gonzo said he made some mistakes. McNulty said he made some mistakes. Yes, we probably should have handled this whole thing differently. And what's the bozo, God, I'm sorry, I can't think of his name, and I do mean bozo. Help me, what is his name? Congressman got up and said, well, I used to be head of the committee, and I never issued subpoenas, and I never put people through this, and I never made people testify, and I didn't, and I didn't, and I didn't, and yet he was, God, what is his name? Gray-haired guy, round face. Jim. Anyway, he was one of the group that just came down so hard on Clinton. You know, he was on the House committee against Clinton. And here he is giving a speech today, how righteous he was. Oh, I never, you know, when I was a, I never did this and I never did that. And God, I can't think of his name all of a sudden. That's unusual for me. Can't think of a politician's name. But, you know, he was one of the leaders of the pack, the wolf pack that went after Clinton. And yet he is up there all righteous today. Oh, you know, these hearings are a sham. This is a media circus. This is that. It's nothing but allegations. Interesting. Very interesting. Will Karl Rove come before the Senate and testify? I don't know. Email from Rick in Panama City. Said, I put this in a petition sponsored by the Pen the other day. I guess we're both on the same page on this, he says. If you capitulate to Bush on the issue of ending the Iraqi occupation, then I can only conclude in good conscience that our majority leadership is weak and should be replaced immediately. I must also conclude that some of the Democratic majority are cowards and are more interested in political cover and theater than the lives lost daily in this so-called war. If the goal is to make most of we citizens to stay home November 2008, then I think you're just about at mission accomplished. Yeah, Rick, I think you're right. I think you are right. And that's a petition sponsored by the PEN. Are the hearings over for the day? I don't know. I don't have it dialed in right now, so I really don't know if they're over with. Will this be the last we hear of Monica? Probably. I think so. 866-546-5254. We probably got the chance to take in one last call, if you so desire. I was wondering the other day, pondering, when I hear some of these neocons stand up and talk, why is it that the neocons in this administration and the sheep that follow them, and they are, why is it they believe Osama bin Laden when he says he intends to lead the American military down the road to ruin in Iraq by sucking them into a fight in the Islamist-owned territory? They believe that. They believe every word. They look at him, he's very credible. But then they do an about-face and indignantly state that bin Laden is a liar and can't be believed when he says this whole thing is about the Americans and the outsiders insisting, upon having a presence in the Middle East where we're resented because of our imperialistic desires due to the oil under the ground in the Middle East countries. He's a liar when he says that, but he's telling the truth when he, Which is it, boys? Which is it? Like to know. And we are about to have, and I know many of you have seen this, if you think this administration is at all serious about getting out of Iraq, you're badly mistaken, because we're about to double the troops there. Going to boost the number of combat soldiers from 52,500 in early January to as many as 98,000 by the end of this year. If the Pentagon overlaps arriving and departing combat brigades, that would be 28 brigades, I think it is, and it would literally cripple the American military and have, so to speak, all of our eggs in one basket. They are planning on expanding this war. There is no question about that. They will stay there as long as they can. They're going to try and play out the string and run it until Bush leaves office and dump it in somebody else's lap. But make no mistake, these neocons have an agenda, and they're going to stay in Iraq and grab as much as they can grab before this whole business is over with. And we will be there 50 years from now. I promise you that. We will. We'll have a force in that region 50 years from now. I won't live to see that, but some of you will. Remember, back on May 23rd, 2007, Guy James said there'd still be troops in the Middle East in 2057. Don't bother emailing me, though, because I don't think I'll get it. Hey, I appreciate you joining the program today. I really do. I understand that a lot of people were listening to the hearings today. And we probably had a light audience because of that. I don't think there's any more hearings tomorrow, so we'll have everybody back tomorrow. But I do want to thank you for joining us. I appreciate your listening to the program, and I do want to mention to everybody once again, this is a listener-supported program, and I'm sorry to have to repeat that, but we do need your assistance in keeping this program going. It is not free, and I know people must think that it is, but it is not. We appreciate the help of all of those of you who have contributed to the program. Hope maybe a few new people will join in as well, because we could use your assistance. You're listening to The Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Thanks to Billy Shears, music director. And don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you, gang.